We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Hour number 3, Dale and Keith, Sports Radio WEEI. We do have a couple of things still upcoming. Keith's Keys to the Midday is coming up at some point. We don't know when.
You're not going to want to miss that. No, a lot of good ones.
Chime right in with that. And our week in review, kind of the final week in review for this time slot. We may do a week in review when we move to midday starting next week.
I think people like it.
The Celtics have released their schedule for the upcoming season.
All right.
A couple of notes courtesy of Sean Grandy, the play-by-play announcer of the Celtics. A couple of things. It'll be the sixth time the Celtics play in the TNT opening night game, but it will be the first time that they won't be playing LeBron in the opening night game.
Yeah.
October 16th, the earliest opener for the Celtics since October 10th, 1980.
To say the opener last year was gross.
Yeah.
5 minutes in.
Celtics spend most of the early season at home. 9 of their first 13 will be on the road.
How about 27 national television appearances?
Well, it's funny, and one of the notes that he made here, the Celtics play 18 games with the Sixers, Warriors, Bucks, Lakers, Rockets, Wizards, and Thunder. All 18 will be on national television.
Makes sense. I mean, the Celtics are the second-best team in the NBA, so really this shouldn't be a surprise. They're included in opening night. They should be. They're playing on Christmas Day, one of the main time slots, you know, because they put... It's not a quadruple header. It's a quintuple header. What is it when it's five? There's five games on Christmas. They own the day on Christmas.
Quintuple header.
Quintuple, thank you, Rossi. The first game is kind of like, hey, there you go. We got a game at noon. Then the last game, you got to stay up late. That's a late one. So it's the games in between. So they have the 5:30 game against Philly. That leads into Golden State and L.A. So the Celtics are one of the marquee teams, and they have marquee players. I mean, Kyrie Irving and Jason Tatum and Gordon Hayward, these are must-watch guys. And then you put them in there against LeBron or against James Harden or whoever else. They're also really trying to prop up the Philly rivalry, which Philly needs to hold up their end of the bargain. I mean, they got a couple of nice players, but Ben Simmons was terrible in the playoffs last year. Joel Embiid's hurt all the time. So that one, Philly could let the NBA down as far as Boston, Philly for the next 5 years. But the Celtics themselves, they are absolutely must-see TV.
They're going to be all over your national TV screen all season long.
Mm-hmm.
And they should be. They're going to have a very, very good team. One of the notes, Sean, and I don't have it in front of me here, but one of the notes is that when Gordon Hayward makes his return to Utah, it's in November, they play in Utah.
Oh, wow.
He said it'll be 550 days since he last played a game in Utah.
Wow. I wonder how he's going to be received there. You would think well, but remember some of the articles that were written out there in Salt Lake?
They were like, yeah, let him go.
We're better off without him. You've seen Donovan Mitchell play. We're better without you. And then there were some that went to the extreme of celebrating his injury. Not a lot of the media guys, but that was definitely out there. A lot of the fans, you saw it. So they were pretty upset with him that he left. But the fact that the team is pretty good, I don't know. My prediction months out is going to be mixed out in Utah.
All right, one quick baseball note as we get back to the calls with you guys. Mike Trout just went on the DL today.
Yeah, because he'd been out a week and a half. He'd already been out 10 days, right?
Well, he goes on the DL with wrist inflammation.
So that really opens the door for Betts or Martinez.
And the war stat that you were talking about.
People love war.
And you pointed out that Mookie Betts is just behind Trout in war, but that's also based on games played.
Oh, yeah.
And because Mookie had been hurt earlier, he had played like 13 fewer games. If their games played were somewhat even,
yeah,
my guess is Mookie would be the same or maybe ahead of him.
He could pass him by.
He's got a chance
to
pass him now.
Yeah, he definitely will. And then that'd be less of an argument for the Mike Trout voters. And by the way, they should vote for Mike Trout most years. This year, there just happens to be two guys that are on the same team who I think have even a better case. But if you look at Mike Trout, it's remarkable. Go back to 2012. These are his MVP finishes. Second, first, fourth, and then you have this year. Last year, Dale, he finished fourth, and he played in 114 games. 114 games, and he's still ranked fourth. So pretty remarkable. He's always going to get a ton of votes, but if he plays in if he misses a ton of games, if he misses another 15 games or whatever it is, that would be insulting if Betts and Martinez stay healthy and continue what they're doing, if one of those guys doesn't win.
Back to the calls, 617-779-7937. Josh is on the cell phone. Hey, Josh.
Hey, guys. I'm stuck in 495 traffic right now.
I'm sorry to hear that, Josh. Yeah, what do you got?
Okay. Probably used to traffic by now. I just wanted to talk about how the Red Sox are really good. I mean, I have heard a bunch of stuff on this radio podcast, whatever you want to call it, about...
Now, this is a real problem. I'm sorry you're stuck in traffic. Cannot hear you.
Unfortunately. What
did he say? He said the Red Sox are good? Was that the lead?
His phone was breaking up.
All right. Anyway, fine.
I have no idea what he was trying to say.
It's okay.
617-779-7937. Zach's in New Hampshire. Hey, Zach.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
It's going great, Zach.
All right. I got a couple of things here. It's called sea level, not sea curve.
Oh, good point. We're going back to the flat earth here. Okay, Zach, so sea level.
Wait, I got one more thing.
No, I'm not hanging up on you. Keep going.
I'm close.
Keep going.
All right, actually, this has nothing to do with the flat earth, because I just like to troll people with that. That's hilarious and fun.
Okay, what else you got?
I think that...
You want to hear an impression?
Yeah, I do. It's a free day Friday, Dale. Of course I do. Go ahead.
I'm Joe Castiglione, and this is the Red Sox Radio Network.
Terrible impression.
And that's all I have.
Terrible impressions, Zach.
He went 0-2.
If you're going to do a Castig impression, you have to use the, can you believe it? Have to. What did he say? This is the Red Sox Radio Network? Come on.
I've heard a lot of
Castig impressions. That was maybe the worst.
You know, I hate to say it, but there seems to be a drinking issue in New Hampshire.
Issue, Dale? I think they're doing just fine. 4:22 here on a Friday?
I mean, as long as they're in the comfort of their own home or some establishment, and they're going to call Uber later, have at it.
Day drinking is significantly better than night drinking. There's not even an argument to be had for night drinking.
I 100% agree with that.
Thank you, Shyam. Rossi, you seem perplexed.
I'm not a huge drinker, but I
have noticed. Well, that's on you.
But, you know, I have noticed, especially in the summertime, there is,
day drinking is way better.
Day, way better. It's nice out. I think that's what it is.
Yeah, that helps. You're like sitting out in the rain having a couple of drinks.
Our intern, whose last day will be the intern, Leon.
Yeah. Is he old enough to be engaged in this discussion?
We're going
to
say yes.
I don't want to promote. Okay.
Yes.
What was he saying?
As a college kid, I bet he's never had a drink in his life.
He says day drinking is always better.
Wait, it's way better. So these guys, and if you want to pick up the stick, you want to call in to Dale and Keith on their last afternoon day, go ahead. Have some theories,
no, Joe and Zach.
Let's not workshop impressions if they're that terrible. Make sure if you're going to bring an impression to the air, you have to have at least five of your friends endorse it. They don't have to call in and endorse it. I'm just saying they need to tell you, you know what? You do a pretty good Joe Castig, or you do a pretty good fill in the blank.
But you assume Zach has friends.
At least five.
Dale, I would absolutely assume that he does. He had that big joke about sea level. You don't think he wins friends over with the sea level?
It's not sea curve.
It's not sea curve.
Now, I don't know if this is a key, and I don't want to spoil anything.
Oh.
But
oh. What?
You think maybe it's a personal key? You'll be doing some day drinking now on.
I'm going to be doing a ton of day drinking. Some? Rossi, you do not know me very well, my friend. There's going to be a lot starting Monday. Looking forward to it.
In the Fortress of Solitude or whatever it is.
Dragon's Lair.
Dragon's Lair.
Right to the Dragon's Lair. I should be home at 2:45. Be great. 2:30. Can't wait. 3 o'clock.
Yeah, 3.
We're in Gillette, right? Yeah, so 3 o'clock.
Gillette?
Did you hear Glenn earlier today?
What did he say?
Glenn was trying to, I guess, make us feel bad and make Lou feel better.
That's not
nice. He was trying to convince Lou that the commute home at 2 is the same as the commute home at 6. He says, it's no different, you know.
Oh.
It's just as bad. The traffic is just as bad.
He's going to be
at
afraid.
2 as it was at 6, as it is at 6.
Very rude awakening. There is no way that is right. There's no chance. Now, I haven't driven home from 2, but Dale, you did that for a while.
I did that shift.
You can get home pretty easy, right?
Oh, no, it's fine at 2.
I've heard it. Like, it creeps up. Like 2:30, I've heard, then you run into some issues. 3 o'clock, it's really bad, right? But 2 o'clock, I think we're... That's why 48 taillights.
Do you go Starro?
No.
Then you might be okay.
I'm going to be fine. I'm going to be absolutely fine.
No matter what,
going in's gonna be a little bit.
Are you gonna be like Fourier? You're gonna be like wheels up,
yeah,
at 254.
Oh, 154.
Oh, 154, yeah. I mean.
Oh, God.
Working with those guys for almost a year. Yeah. Are your headphones gonna be off during?
No,
the last
I will.
Segment?
I will complete the show. The show will be over. The mics will be off, and then I'm out the door, flying out the door.
When do your feet go up on the desk?
Is that what do you have to do in the midday?
I've noticed last hour Fourier feet on the desk,
really,
just chilling out.
No, I'm not gonna
three
do that.
Guys.
No, I'm not doing that. No, how can you do that? You're too laid back then. You're falling asleep. They're not doing that.
You do the cross with him. You know what he's like at that time.
No, his feet aren't up then. He's out the door then. Are you kidding me?
Well, his shoes are tied.
He's got his keys in his hands. Did you say keys? Uh-oh.
You said keys.
I did say keys. Is that a good segue?
So we make the shift to midday,
yes,
starting.
Sorry,
we'll be at Gillette, actually.
That's right.
From 10 to 2 on Monday.
That's right.
So we've got some keys to this shift.
I think so. We have some. I could probably outsource some more. Sean, get to work.
Look through the glass.
These guys can come up with keys? Of course they
Tweedledee
can.
Tweedledee and Tweedledum in there are going to come up with something for you?
Well, maybe not. I have faith in them,
kid
though.
With the UMass t-shirt's going to help you out with this?
That's our intern, Liam.
Yeah, I know who it is.
You
I
said
see
kid
him.
With the UMass
Well, look at him.
Shirt.
He's going to help
That's
you.
That's our intern.
He's the one who's never had a drink in his life, remember?
That's right. That's right.
Rossi's got control of the ship now.
It's a false count anywhere Friday.
That's Rossi's
for sure.
Going for all of it.
Killing it.
Bert Breer, senior NFL reporter for the MMQB, also does some work for NBC Sports Boston.
Right.
Is the first that I have seen who is reporting what the Tom Brady revised deal is all about. The incentives for the revised deal. And this is what we've all wondered, okay? And what he says is that he's got 5 $1 million triggers. Each of these carries a $1 million price tag. If he's top 5 in quarterback rating, that's $1 million. If he's top 5 in completion percentage, that's $1 million. Top 5 in yards per attempt. Top 5 in touchdown passes. Top 5 in passing yards. Now, he goes on to say...
It is kind of silly.
If the it's a
it?
Joke. If the Patriots win the Super Bowl, each incentive becomes $2 million. But the most he can make is $5 million anyway. So in other words, if he only reached two of these, but they win the Super Bowl...
Bumps it up
well,
to $4
million.
Then
they get $2 million each, they get to four. But if he got all five, for the sake of argument,
yeah,
he doesn't get $10 million, he still gets the $5 million.
And by the way, quick look, this is my research, so I could be wrong, but quick look, he finished in the top five last year in all five categories.
Right. So
now, a couple of them, he was fifth. Like, it wasn't like he cruised past everybody else, but... He was first in yards, as we know. He was top three, I think, in touchdown passes. Even yards per attempt, which, remember that idiot Scott Kazmaier?
Yeah, that was his big thing.
But Brady was fifth last year, just barely. Like, think about it. So last year, and I know this is stupid, but this is in his contract now. Tom Brady averaged 7.88 yards per attempt. Matthew Stafford averaged 7.87. So a hundredth of a yard, and you're talking about...
$1 million.
Yeah.
Like, or $2 million if they win the Super Bowl.
Or maybe even $2 million. Right.
Look,
but so I wonder if, you know, because again, when you're looking at salary cap issues, would they consider those as...
I would think because he would have earned all of them last year,
yeah,
I think these are considered likely to be earned.
So why even do it?
Which means you add $5 million to the cap.
So why not just give him the
$5 million? Why not just give him the $5 million? Why are you making Tom freaking Brady
Prove it!
What are you doing?
Because he has a bad back. He has a sore back. He can't play. That is just, it's bizarre.
You know, when they did this to Ninkovich, to Gronkowski
it
last
makes
year,
sense.
You said, okay, you know, he's had some physical issues. What you're saying is, Rob, if you're healthy, you're going to make all this extra money. We just want to make sure you're healthy. And you understood it, given his medical history. What is the reason for this with Brady?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know why you'd want to give him incentives unless you think for some reason. Well, actually, I can't really think of a reason why. I mean, the guy's been here for 20 years, and now all of a sudden you're going to say, hey, play for incentive. You got to be top five in the league in all these categories, and if you do that, we'll give you $5 million bucks, which even the $5 million is almost insulting, let alone the incentives.
It's not enough.
It's one thing if the incentives bumped him up to – being the highest paid quarterback, something like that.
Well, hey, if he could get the $10 million, you'd say, okay, He can't do that.
He can't even do
that.
The
most he can get is $5 million. It's capped at $5
million. Yeah, so he's going to make $20 million like most quarterbacks in the NFL next year. So that's what you're dealing with him. It just seems, the whole thing seems kind of bizarre.
So here's the only way he can get to $5 million. He either hits all five.
Yeah.
He can get to $5 million. Or he hits three of them and they win the Super Bowl.
Right.
Those are the only ways he gets the $5 million.
Right. There's also a minimum in attempts, and he has to be 70% of the playing time. And you say, why would that matter? Well,
if he's
three
hurt
of the five, he could end the year. He plays one game and has a QB rating, completion percentage, and yards per attempt that, you know, have, you know, he has to qualify basically for those year end rankings. Just silly. Now, I wonder if they're going to do something similar with Gronk, which, as we both said, makes a lot more sense. So if he is top three, let's say, amongst tight ends in yards, catches, and touchdowns. I don't know what else you could throw in there. Maybe yards per catch. I doubt they'd do that. But just if you wanted to throw those in there, and maybe he could make a few more million bucks as well, that would make sense. But making Tom Brady go through this seems a little odd at this point of his career.
Now, the easy answer here is, hey, he doesn't have to agree to it.
I mean,
and you know what? If he does agree to it, then I guess who am I to bitch if he says, yeah, okay, that's fine.
Well, he's probably thinking, you know, he and Don Yee both are looking at it and saying, all right, like, I'm pretty confident that I'm going to hit these, so I'll get the money, but it seems like a little bit of a sign of disrespect.
That's how I read it.
Yeah.
Like,
I don't know, hey, an opportunity to make money. And then again, if you're not really saving on the cap, then what's the point at all? Why not just give it to him? He's worth it. He's the reigning MVP. He's probably a lot of people's prediction to be the MVP again. Or at least he's got, you know, top five odds, I would imagine. You can look that up. But, I mean, he's the guy you want, and now you're making him finish in the top five in all these categories just to make a few. I mean, it's not a few extra bucks to anybody listening for a guy who has made this much money over the course of his career, and when you're dealing with other quarterback contracts, it's not even that much more money.
And, again, the only way he gets the $5 million, there are only two ways. He hits every one of these five things. He finishes in the top five in all five of these categories, or he finishes in the top five in three of the five, and they win the Super Bowl.
He's third right now in MVP odds behind Rodgers and Wentz. So, I mean, they're making him finish in the top five in these categories where he's top three right now in MVP. Yeah, it's weird. And, you know, throw on top of it, he's got a sore back.
And throw on top of
that
that we don't love all of his receivers.
No. And I can't imagine that he does either. I mean, he loves Gronk. He loves Edelman. He loves James White. At least I think he does. So there's three guys that are going to be out there with him a lot. So maybe it's a little overstated.
Does he love Chris Hogan, do you think?
I don't think so. I don't know if he loves him.
They seem to
he's hit him a handful of times, yeah. But I don't know if he necessarily loves him. I mean, he could trust him somewhat. Now, the other guys, we'll see. You know, last night, by not playing, and I don't want him to play, but you don't get a chance to see him with Cordell Patterson or even guys that he hasn't been with much, like Philip Dorsett and Kenny Britt. But, yeah, I mean, that's odd. I mean, so Burt Breer was the first one to have that. We're wondering what they are. They do seem pretty attainable, but at the same time, what's the point of making them go
through
this?
I think they would be considered likely to be earned because he would have earned all five of these last year, right?
He would have, yeah. He was first, third, fifth, and fifth, I believe, in all the different categories. So
now,
he would have hit him.
Maybe he's saying, wait a minute, Amendola's gone. Edelman's suspended for the first four. A couple of these are going to be harder for me to get.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Brandon Cooks is gone.
Yeah, that's true. Is Eric Decker going to help him get these?
Handsome man, I don't know if you've noticed.
I have noticed that. They bring that up a lot. They really seem
like all the time.
They kind of dwell on it, if you ask me, but fine. He's a handsome son of a gun.
Did you see the Julian Edelman Instagram?
No.
There's Tom, Julian, and Decker are all standing there talking, you know.
Pretty good.
Sharing a laugh.
Yeah, pretty good.
And
pretty handsome.
And Nate Ebner is standing behind them, sort of staring at them. and Edelman Instagrammed the photo and said, Nate, you mad, bro?
Yeah, it's probably not the group. If you're hanging out, going to like a restaurant or something, I don't know if you want to be hanging out with those three.
No, you're probably
not going to do all that.
Although
well,
there might be some overflow.
That's a good point. Yeah, maybe, you know what? Maybe I take it back. Maybe it could be.
Maybe
a lot
that
worse.
Is who you want to hang around
yeah,
with.
Yeah, probably. You're going to look like crap, but hey. But who knows?
That might be an opportunity mm-hmm. for you, though. 617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Let's go to Steve in Portsmouth. Hey, Steve, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing well, guys. Congrats. You know, sad to see you moving to the midday. I think WEI is definitely making a mistake there.
Why?
I think we'll be
pretty good there.
I think you're going to be great there. I'm just saying, if more people listen between 2 and 6, you know, Dale and Keith are the ones that the station should be having people listen to.
I hear you, Steve. I hear you, Steve. What else you got?
So if JD Martinez, wins the triple crown, if he raises his batting average 10, 14 points or whatever. Would you give him the MVP or do you do, right?
Oh, no, absolutely.
I would absolutely give it to J.D. Martinez. I'd give it to him right now.
If he wins the Triple Crown, yes. I wouldn't right now. I would give it to Mookie. But if he does, in fact, win the Triple Crown, yes, absolutely you'd give it to him.
Well, we're losing Steve. I would. I think it's going to be a pretty good race. Oh, wait a minute. Is that now the time? Oh, there's no time like the present, Dale, right? We're running out of show. We're running out of show.
Tease for the Boston Celtics to get a win here tonight.
And now, Dale and Keith present.
What are your two keys tonight?
Keith presents.
So you're basically listing like 10 things, and out of those 10, 4 of them come correct. And I told you.
Keith's keys.
Today's keys to the game.
Keith's keys.
Time for the keys to the game.
Keys to tonight's game.
Who's going
to
win?
Probably one of the worst segments I've ever heard on Boston Radio.
Only the keys can tell.
There's your key right there.
Keith's keys.
It's Keith's keys.
Keith, I think I'm going to quit my Nesson job if this ever happens again.
Oh, I was curious what song Rossi was going to go with. Apparently it's whatever this one is. That's all right, Dale.
It's 9 to 5.
It's 10 to 2. Those are our new
song.
Hours.
The song
it's
is 9 to 5.
Keith's Keys to the Middays. Here we go. Let's begin. Key number one, wake up earlier.
Oh, this is hard for you. I'm up already. I sense there could be some issues.
Dale, wear sunscreen as the UV light is at its strongest between the hours of 10 a.m. and 3 p.m.
Can I point out to you we're indoors?
10 to 2 is not just our new hours.
Oh, yeah.
It is also a slang term for what something one does while smoking meth. You should check out Urban Dictionary for more.
What the hell was that?
10 to 2 is the proper way to hold the steering wheel.
Oh, I've never done it, but I've heard that.
Brunch is the most commonly served meal between 10 and 2. Brunch, of course, is a combination, Dale, of breakfast and lunch.
Wow. Deep.
The concept of bringing a meal to work dates back to the mid-1800s. The historical facts about lunch reveal that farmers and industrial workers who couldn't come home at noon stuffed food such as hard-boiled eggs, veggies, meat, pie, and coffee into old cleaned-out tobacco tins or sturdy dinner pails.
That was the longest key I've ever heard.
Wait a second. What's pie?
That in English-speaking countries during the 18th century, lunch was originally called dinner, a word still used regularly to mean a noontime meal in Scotland, Ireland, Wales, and some part of England, and also in some parts of Canada and the United States.
You're losing me, for God's sakes, now.
Despite all of this, Dale, we as hosts should not eat during the show. Do you have audio of people eating during the show, Rossi, that I asked you to play during the commercial break?
It went so well during rehearsal.
You remember that time?
Rossi's looking at you like, oh.
He goes, yeah, good. He plays the keys. I don't need keys sound effects. Play that again.
Come back with Damian and Woody.
So don't do that.
Going to miss you terribly when you're off the air.
Thank you.
Don't do that.
You know, at 9:16, which is going to be honored on the 13th, if you're a Yankee fan of any vintage, that is really a special team.
Don't do that.
So eat early or late, Dale. Please do not eat between 10 and 2. Until that's when most people like to eat. Now, we may be moving to midday, but that is only for our listeners in the Eastern Standard Time, as we are suddenly morning drive in California.
Do we get more money?
If you're moving to Timbuktu, you're in luck, as we will still be heard from 2 to 6 in beautiful Timbuktu. Radio.com for your drive home. Spanish people, as well as old people, eat their biggest meal of the day between 10 and 2.
What? Then they take a long nap.
Oh, yeah, they take a bit of a siesta there.
Damian Woody.
Noon actually used to be 3 o'clock because in Latin, the word nona ora referred to the ninth hour of sunlight, and the medieval monastic day began at 6 a.m., and the ninth hour would be 3 o'clock. The change to noon being 12 p.m. began in the 12th century and was officially fixed in the 14th century.
I like this better when you told me you just had a few.
Most burglaries occur during 10 a.m. and 3 p.m.
Uh-oh.
So make sure your security systems are up to date and very effective. Your brain typically wakes up at 10 a.m.
Oh. How about if you just woke up at 9 a.m.?
The best time to take a nap is around 2 to 3 p.m., which we will now be able
Perfect.
To do.
Yeah.
Most babies are likely to be born between 12 p.m. and 1 p.m. And lastly, Dale, I know you're waiting for lastly.
Yeah, well, I was hoping.
11-11 is a magical time that people generally make a wish on because it's the only time on the clock where all four possible digits are the same number, happening once in the morning and once at night. Shime, I got to be honest, 12-12 and 10-10 would also apply.
Work.
No,
yeah.
No, because it's not all four of them are once. Like,
I read it wrong. Shime, you're right. I take it back. 11-11, make a wish.
Come on, I'm not that grammatic.
Are we going to make a wish every day at 11-11?
Segment on the program?
Rossi, what do you think of that? Thumbs up in the back?
The 11-11 make a wish segment?
Yeah.
You just got to say it. And then there's, you ever hear the whole,
can I maybe wish this segment ends? Could we do that?
Yeah, we've exhausted all the keys, Rossi. But something to think about over the weekend as we prepare for our move to midday.
Coming up Monday down at Gillette. We'll get back to your calls in just a couple of minutes. Dale and Keith, Sports Radio, WEEI.
Eleven is a magical time that people generally make a wish on because it's the only time on the clock where all four possible digits are the same number, happening once in the morning and once at night. Shime, I got to be honest, 12-12 and 10-10 would also apply.
Work.
No, because it's not all four of them are once. Like,
I read it wrong. Shime, you're right. I take it back. 11-11, make a wish. Thomas!
Shime, what about military time? 22-22.
Well, we were just going by the normal
time.
Hour clock.
We're going normal time. We're on our clock.
The standard clock.
No, that's well done. That was a good nugget. Because every once in a while, we outsource the keys. That's where you get some of your best stuff.
And it would still only happen twice in the military clock. 11-11 and 2-2-2-2.
22-22.
Yeah.
Yeah. 2-2-2-2. You say 2-2-2-2?
I did say it that way.
He's not a guy in the military, right?
Guys, it's 2-2-2-2. Here's what's coming up in sports.
As dumb as noon 30.
No, noon 30 is going to
work. Apparently is going to go with us next
week. I didn't even realize we're going to do a 11-11 make-a-wish segment. I'm excited about
that,
too.
We're going to test out a lot of stuff. Callers, they have ideas. Texters,
sports wishes. We got Joe in New Hampshire booked for the last segment on Fridays. This has been a very productive show. Feel good about it. Feel great about it.
Let's get back to the calls with you guys. Paul's in New Hampshire. What is with New Hampshire today?
New Hampshire, we're a hotbed up there. What do you got, Paul?
What's wrong with New Hampshire?
Oh, it's just everybody who's called has been from New Hampshire today.
Oh, well, I don't know what to tell you there. Yeah. It's not a holiday up here, so I don't know.
It was right. For Joe.
I don't know. What do you got, Paul?
Your keys, correction due to modern things in vehicles. Now that you have airbags, 10 and 2 is not the preferred position.
Oh, you're not one of these 3 and 9 guys, are you?
Yeah, because you'll get burnt by the airbag if it's a blow.
Well, and you'll punch yourself in the face.
Yeah, but you might be more likely to need an airbag if you're not 10 and 2.
That's a possibility. And the other thing was on the 11-11. I don't know if, I bet Dale remembers. I don't know if Keith will. Gene Burns used to be on the air in Boston in the 80s.
Sure.
He'd call 11-11 a fun time natural.
We're bringing that back. We are bringing that back, Paul. Yeah.
So that's what you can call it. You can, you know, call it a fun time natural when it's 11-11 each day.
Fun time natural?
Fun time.
Yeah. Right, well, I love it, Paul. Thank you.
We could go for that.
I'll tell you, I actually remember... and I've told this story before, but my driver's ed teacher, who was a narcolept, I've told that story.
What?
Yeah, were you not in that day?
Oh, I missed that.
Oh, yeah, he was a narcolept. He would fall asleep at the drop of a hat. And he was my driver's ed teacher.
Oh, good.
So there I am, 15 and a half or whatever it was, driving around.
Mr. Smith!
Yeah, I got my friend in the back seat. He's in the front seat. He would say, and I quote, just drive around for a while. And I would go, oh, okay. And then I'd look over, 2 minutes in, he's got his chin in his chest, fast asleep. So you kind of tap the brakes on him, and he wakes up. He's like, oh, that's good. Yeah, take it right here. But anyway, he was the guy. He pushed the 3-9 stuff too. Because I remember thinking, hey, 10-2, here we go. I'm in the car, 10-2. And he was a big 3-9 guy. I find it harder to turn at 3-9. You got to really commit with your whole body.
I mentioned Billy, the bus driver who let me drive the bus.
Yes. What was his thoughts on the wheel?
He used to fall asleep a lot too.
Yeah, it's so dangerous.
So we would, you know, and we'd be on this big 49 passenger bus. We'd be 2 hours out of Portland. You know, the game's over. You get on the bus. You head for Sherbrooke or something.
Yeah.
And
he's taking a snooze.
We used to have to take turns. We would stand in that well, you know, where down the steps.
And just talk to him?
And somebody would have to stand there and talk to him because I think he thought he had see-through eyelids, but it didn't work that way.
Let me just rest my eyes for a minute. That's terrifying.
It'd be terrifying. You'd be just sleeping in your seat, right, and sleeping.
And all of a sudden.
And you'd hear Tom McVie say, Billy, Billy, Billy!
You go over to like the rumble patch on the side. You're like, in the bus too, you got to jerk it back into the lane. That's dangerous.
It could have caused problems from time to time. Tim's in New Hampshire. Hey, Tim.
Hey, guys. How you doing? Happy Friday.
Thank you. You too.
Hey, I have a theory on this whole structuring thing with Brady's contract.
All right.
It's still ridiculous. They should just give him the money, and they should double that. But the Patriots have never thrown money at a player. They've always made him earn it. And I think they want to just be able to say, look, even Tom Brady had to earn his money.
I mean, my God, though. Isn't he different?
To me, this is absurd.
Yeah.
I agree. But that's their way of thinking, right? They don't throw money at players.
I mean, they threw a lot of money at Stephon Gilmore last year.
A lot.
Well, that's a good point.
Okay. All right, fair enough.
I mean, I said with the Gronkowski thing, I at least understood. He had physical issues. If you're healthy, Rob, we're happy to pay you. But if you get hurt, we don't want to, you know, I understood. What logical explanation would you have for making the GOAT sing for his supper?
I don't get it. Now, I don't know what the salary cap situation is like, and you've said, you know, if they're deemed to be easily attainable, then it does count towards the salary cap. So these seem like you would be able to get him. He hit them all last year, so I think would assume he's going to hit them this year.
Jim in Portsmouth's got a good point about this, though. Hey, Jim.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
What's going on?
Yeah, love the show, but you're driving me absolutely insane.
Okay.
All right, every time you talk about Brady in last year, why doesn't anyone mention that if Wentz was healthy, he'd have blown him away in every statistical category?
Because
he threw for more touchdowns with less games.
But all Brady has to do is finish in the top five.
Yeah, and so his quarterback rating, Wentz's was worse. His completion percentage was much worse. He had less yards, and you're right, maybe he would have passed it, but I doubt it because Brady led the league, so that wouldn't even matter.
Well, I don't care about the incentives. I care about Wentz getting his due.
Oh, who cares about Wentz getting his due?
What are we flying poop about?
What is this, WIP? No, we don't care.
No, but...
Is this John Ritchie?
Because Brady shouldn't have been the MVP last year anyway.
Why not?
Should have been Wentz.
How many games did he miss?
He missed four, but that's...
No! Stop! He missed four.
Pretty much right. Yeah, Brady should have been the MVP the year before.
25% of the season, Jim.
Right.
Brady got it because of what he's done in the past.
No, Brady got it for what he did. He led the league in passing yards. What do you mean what he did in the past? He led the league in passing yards.
What he did in the past. Wentz was lights out in a way that...
Brady was better than Wentz last year.
No, absolutely
not. No, he was.
And Wentz did it without the other team's playbook or an illegal channel in his...
Oh, you're one of these guys, too? Are you a Pittsburgh fan? Why are you talking about Wentz?
No, I'm an Eagles fan.
You sound like a Pittsburgh fan going to the cheating angle pretty quickly in the conversation.
Yeah, I mean, it's just... an Eagles fan. Okay, Carson Wentz gets his due. Let's say Carson Wentz was healthy. Brady only had to finish in the top five to earn these bonuses. That's what we were talking about here.
If Wentz was healthy, maybe Brady wins the Super Bowl. If you want to put it that way.
Good point.
Foles played out of his mind. I kind of wish
catching passes.
I wish Wentz was healthy.
Might have been better all the way around.
He had a good year. There's no doubt about it.
Listen,
Brady was better.
Obvious.
And he played, I mean, we had the same argument the other way. Brady was lights out the year he was suspended. Lights out. I think you could have made a great case for him being MVP, but he played in 12 games. Matt Ryan played in 16 games. So Matt Ryan got it. And I think fans still here were saying, well, you know, he could have been the MVP, but that's a lot of games to miss. You miss a quarter of the season? That's tough. And I also know that the postseason has no impact on the voting, But to me, we can all look at this now, Nick Foles goes on a run. Something tells me the Patriots weren't winning the Super Bowl with their backup, but the Eagles were able to win with theirs.
Obviously, if Tom Brady agrees to this, Tom Brady's fine with it. Who the heck am I to argue? Who am I to say anything? I'm just saying from the outside looking in, it seems kind of silly that you're asking the greatest quarterback who ever lived to he's underpaid now, by the way.
Yeah.
He's grossly underpaid.
Yeah.
He's still going to be underpaid if he gets all $5 million. But Tom, we'll give you another $5 million. We'll still make you underpaid, but you got to kind of do some stuff
here.
It
is really weird. It feels like a Red Sox type of thing, only in the sense that they pay players from other teams a lot. The Red Sox do it more, but I'm just thinking of Stephon Gilmore getting all the money that he got. He'd never played with the Patriots. They give him a ton of money. If you go back to Danny Amendola's first contract, they gave him a decent amount of money, and then every year they made him take a pay cut. The guys that are on their team, there's a handful of them. Like, yeah, they signed Rob Gronkowski and even Aaron Hernandez to bigger contracts while they're on their rookie deal, but they make their guys like McCourty or Gerard Mayo or Logan Mankins, they really make those guys play out. Vince Wilfork was a good example. They make them play out their whole contracts before signing them. And then with Brady, they've been fortunate that he hasn't really forced their hand or you know, demanded that he was the highest paid quarterback. They've been pretty fortunate in that regard.
Miguel, who writes Miguel's salary cap page and is great at it.
Yeah.
He also writes now on salary cap issues for Boston Sports Journal. He wrote about this, I think it was yesterday, about the restructuring of Tom Brady's contract and the impact on the salary cap. I'm quoting what he says. While there's not been a report that the $5 million in incentives will be classified not likely to be earned, I expect the incentives to be classified that way. For a statistic to be considered not likely to be earned, Brady could not have accomplished the feat in 2018. For example, he didn't score a rushing touchdown. So scoring a rushing touchdown in 2019 would be considered not likely to be earned. Since Brady threw 32 touchdown passes in 2017, throwing 33 this year would be considered not likely to be earned. But here's the problem. All five of the bonuses, as delineated by Burt Breer, he would have gotten them all last year.
Right.
So they are likely to be earned. So that's the difference here.
Yeah. It's very strange that you would make him go through this, but that's what they decided to do. And that obviously he signed off on
it. We think. I mean, there's been no official word of anything. This is
true. I mean, it's just there's enough reports. But you're right. I guess we don't know for 100%.
Is there something we don't know? Is there some side deal we don't know? Tom, we'll put these $5 million in incentives in your contract. We'll juice it up a little bit. And Alex Guerrero gets to come back into the facility and work on you downstairs again.
Yeah, well, again, you saw the little commercial they had for TB12 last night during the broadcast. Maybe, and so they have one more home game in the preseason anyway, and that's Kraft Sports Productions. So it'll be interesting to see next Thursday if we get another one of those run bys. Like, hey, here's the TB12 facility. Like, oh. That's worth something, advertising dollars. That's not bad. So maybe we'll see that again.
I can't figure out, just on the face, the way it's presented now, I can't figure out why they
why not just give them the money?
Exactly.
Yeah, right.
Because as I understand it, the way this is structured, it's going to count against the cap anyway.
Yeah, so you're not saving your any. Because that was my first thought yesterday. Was, all right, well, maybe they can find a way to save money off it, but still give them the money. As Belichick himself has said, the salary cap can be manipulated, and that would be one way where you don't have to, he can still get that cash, but it's not going to affect the team. But if it does, then what are you making him earn it for?
Greg's in Amherst. Hey, Greg, how you doing?
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Good. What's going on?
Just a quick question. I'm kind of thinking outside the box a little bit. What do you guys think about the fact that maybe Brady is the initiating factor with this contract structure? With Garoppolo, I think Brady knew how good he was, and he used that as a motivating factor for his performance. And I'm thinking with Garoppolo gone, what do you guys think about this? Is actually something that was Brady's idea, kind of an internal competitive nature that he's presenting to the team?
I like a good theory, Greg, and I'm with you on Garoppolo definitely motivated him. I don't know if $5 million more would motivate Brady. I mean, I think just him wanting to win another Super Bowl and being great would be motivation enough. I don't know. I mean, I'm not going to dismiss it. I don't know for sure, but it seems odd that this would be his idea.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.